The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good Monday morning and welcome to another week of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, where yours truly, Neville James. It's a beautiful day in paradise, a little hazy, I'm saying, but it's nice we're going to be talking about the weather service in a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So we got the a mix with the boys. For the table talk. Got a lot of things to talk about. Michael Cohen testifying today. So you know, right? We're going to be keeping an eye on that. That's going to be explosive in the Trump trial. You know what I'm saying? And been watching a lot of the playoffs, basketball. We're going to talk about a little bit about that. A little bit of tennis in a little bit. But let's get with the weather service. Find out what we're dealing with and what we're looking at for this week. Good morning. Who am I speaking with? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. This is Gloria Rivera.
Gloria, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
How are you on this Monday?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
That's excellent.
It's a little hazy outside. Please explain that, please.
Oh, yeah. So today we're going to expect heat conditions. We are actually going to have, in effect, a heat advisory starting at 10 a.m. in the morning, just for the island of St. Croix, due to the heat conditions that we're expecting between and heat indices between 108 and 111 degrees from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So keep that in mind if you're having activities outside, kids in school, workers, construction workers, to stay hydrated, use sunscreen because today it's going to be hot and warm.
You said 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay,
so we're expecting those temperatures to rise in the mid-90s across the island of St. Croix. St. Thomas is going to be also in the upper 80s. St. Thomas and St. John in the upper 80s, lower 90s. But St. Croix is the island that we're expecting to have more heat conditions.
Okay, what is causing this?
This is caused by southeast winds, humidity in the area. So the combination of both, it's causing these temperatures to rise.
Okay, good. So so the heat advisory means that we're telling our beachgoers to be careful, right?
No, actually, for beachgoers and boaters, marine conditions are going to be excellent.
Oh, really?
Seas are going to stay below 2 feet
Okay. Across
the local water, so this is going to be excellent. We're going to have low risk of recurrence, so this is perfect for people planning to go to the beach and to the water. For the heat advisory, we're telling the people just to stay hydrated, be in areas covered by the sun, you know, and stay with sunscreen because, like, that can burn your skin, like, immediately.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we looking at any Sahara dust in the near future?
Yes, we're expecting some Saharan dust, low concentrations, though, of Saharan dust we're expecting to stay with us during this week. So people with allergies and everything, go to the doctor and, like, keep your medications with you.
Okay, good. So, and then what are we looking at for the rest of the week?
For the rest of the week, we're expecting more or less the same weather pattern to stay with us for the rest of the week. And it's not going to be until next week that we're expecting another round of showers due to a trough that it's going to come into the local area.
Okay. All righty. Any precipitation, any rain this week? Because it's kind of dry.
Yeah, we're not expecting big concentrations of rain this week. We're expecting more or less to stay dry for much of the week. Just a few showers maybe in the morning hours are going to come by the area, but that's going to be pretty much it.
Okay, that's good. Gloria Rivera, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Good.
You got it. That's not Gloria Rivera from the weather service down there in San Juan. So, heat advisory, okay, mostly on St. Croix. Okay, between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., temperature's going to get anywhere between 108 and 111. So that's what you're going to feel like, you know what I mean? Because of the heat. You're going to be in the 90s, right? So I'm going to keep an eye on daddy, like they say over there in St. Thomas. know what I'm saying? So we gonna keep an eye out to that. And we could use some rain because I was driving in this morning. I don't know if my engineer experienced the same thing, but I noticed on the windshield, you could tell that we need some rain. The dirt build up, the dust build up, the dust build up. You could see that there as well. So check this out, right? Friday night, I'm on the phone talking with one of my friends. And let me go back. I got a text message from Ms. Gwen Marie Molinar, right? And she said, what do you call it? Aurora Borealis, right? What's going to take place, right? Now, for those of you who don't know, right? What Aurora Borealis is, I know my friend Jimmy, Joey Allen's. If he listed, he going to chime me now, right? Northern Lights, right? Apparently, right, in the northern tier states, right, this guy was like, it wasn't fireworks. It was just like beautiful, right? It was like a solar experience during the night. And, you know, I live on Twitter, right? So I'm watching the basketball game, right? I was watching the game with, the first game was with Indiana and the Knicks. And that was a good game, right? Because in both of those series, right, in the Knicks Pacers and the Nuggets Timberwolves, you had 2-0 leads going into Friday and Sunday, right? So the Indiana Knicks game was the first. The Indiana Pacers New York Knicks game was the first game. And that went down to the wire. And Indiana won that game. A big three-point shot late in the game. And then they went on to win it, right? So then in the next game, the defending champions, right, they had lost 2 games at home to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The second one they lost was kind of embarrassing. They got beat up on their home court. So people are saying, the champ's dead. The champ's going to get swept and all that stuff. So I was paying a lot of attention to that game. But while I'm on Twitter, right, and you know, the Nuggets had started to open up a big lead and they were showing why they are champions, I started seeing these photos on Twitter. And it is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen at night, right? The Northern Lights or the Aurora Borealis are beautiful dancing ribbons of light that have captivated people for millennia. But for all its beauty, this spectacular light show is a rather violent event, right? The Northern Lights are created when energized particles from the sun slam into the Earth's upper atmosphere at speeds of up to 45 million miles per hour. 72 million kilometers per hour. But our planet's magnetic field protects us from the onslaught. Right? As Earth's magnetic field redirects the particles toward the poles, there are southern lights too, which you can read about below. Right? And this is an article I'm reading from www.space.com. The dramatic process transforms into a cinematic atmospheric phenomenon that dazzles and fascinates scientists and sky watchers alike. And I'm here to tell you, some folks who were in Michigan posted some photos Friday night. And I seeing colors, like I had a saying St. Thomas, right, Danny? That's how they pronounce it over there. Colors, right? I'm seeing colors at night that are absolutely spectacular. I mean, like, yo, where these things come from and how these things are created? So I was driving in this morning and I said to myself, you know, you really have been environmentally deficient in your life. Okay, you need to know, you need to be more knowledgeable about what'll be going on, you know what I'm saying, in your atmosphere. And this is wild. And I'm just looking at these photos. there was this one photo from the Lower Peninsula. That's what they refer to, right? Because, you know, Michigan is known for, Michigan is a two-part state, right? The Upper Peninsula, which they refer to as the UP. I know Donald Bowie, if you're listening, you know, he could relate to that. And then the Lower Peninsula, which is the basis, you know, the main part of the state. I got this photo here. And then there's another photo west of Ann Arbor. And of course, you know, for those of you who don't know, Ann Arbor is the University of Michigan. That's where Michigan's at. Right? And I mean, I was just freaking out at how beautiful. And there was this maroon color, right? That was just absolutely spectacular. So yesterday, Bill Nye, that's his name, he was on CNN, and he was saying, you know, while we're amazed by what's going on, this is also a dangerous time. You know what I'm saying? Because we got a lot of satellites, right, Dan? We got a lot of satellites up there, right, compared to 30, 40, 50 years ago, right? You know, our atmosphere is replete with satellites, and these things could undermine communication if they get damaged, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just shocked at how lovely, right, our atmosphere can be. And more importantly, you know, we really got to do what we can to be more educated about it and be more protective of it. You know what I'm saying? But if you get a chance and you Google, let me see if I can do it now, Northern Lights Photos. Northern Lights Photos. And apparently it wasn't just Friday night. They also had some on Saturday as well, and they referred to it as a show. Northern Lights Photos. Yeah, right? I'm looking at CBS News. 21 hours ago. So that would be like, what, 11 o'clock yesterday morning. And it's just a beautiful thing. And maroon and purple seems to be, you know, the color that was, the brilliant color that stood out, right? And they say a solar storm of this size had not come into the contact with Earth in decades. It arrived in the midst. Okay, now, yeah. Hold on there. I'm reading something here. Okay, right in the midst of a parade of coronal mass ejections, eruptions of magnetic field and other solar material from the sun's corona that can cause geomagnetic storms, which continue to fuel the Northern Lights shows throughout Friday and Saturday. The next burst of solar material are expected to arrive at Earth midday on Sunday, which was yesterday, according to NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center, which issued a geomagnetic storm watch in anticipation of G4 or G5 events likely following those upcoming coronal mass ejections. So, you know how I do it, right? I like reading, and, you know, we're in the business of being more educated. As we go along, so I can learn on this. It said watches at this level are very rare, the Space Center Prediction Center said in an advisory on Saturday. It noted that the oncoming solar activity could potentially cause the aurora to become visible over much of the northern half of the country, and maybe as far south as California, far south as Alabama to Northern California. And it was just some beautiful shots, man. Right, so they got photos here from St. Joseph, Missouri. One of my photos is from St. Louis as well. Right, they got photos here from Boise, Idaho, St. Joseph, Missouri, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Brunswick, Maine, and Crowshell, Minnesota. Also in Estacada, Oregon, and as far south as Arlington, Texas. Right, and then Renton, Washington. Right, Over Lake Washington, right? And then also shots from Vancouver in British Columbia. The roaches near Leek, Staffordshire. I'll make sure you said that right. God, this is a British term, it's Staffordshire. You don't say the Shire, Staffordshire in Great Britain. And also in Czento or Czento, Poland, right? And I also one over Russia in the Siberian town of Tara. And then another one over, it said Northern Lights glow in skies over the Chinese autonomous region of Inner Mongolia. And these photos, they're on a CBS News, so you can Google spectacular photos show the Northern Lights around the world. And you'll see this. It's just amazing, beautiful, you know, display, you know, of atmospheric beauty. That's the only way I can put it. You know what I'm saying? Right? And it was a weekend thing. And this is, you know, I'm still freaking out over it, you know. So, you know, so I want to thank Ms. Gwen Marie Molina, man. Good looking out. For texting me to let me know this thing going on tonight. Check. And I sent her a photo, right, of Northern Lights over St. Louis. And it kind of looked like a rainbow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, not a full rainbow, but check. And St. Louis is the gateway city in America. You know what I'm saying? They're like, right, that's real heartland. Go check. And so he ain't up there in the northern part. Right? And I gonna send this one. Let me see if I got this one so I could send it to my engineer Danny Challenger. So he could see what I'm talking about. Hold on there. Oh, I saw one. I sent this photo to somebody. Oh, there was one over Chicago that was absolutely stunning. Okay, here we go. I got this one. I'm going to send this one to Danny Challenger now so Danny could understand what we're dealing with here. I might even check with my results to see if we could put them up. I check. But it was really a spectacular thing, man. Your boy City, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just freaking out over how gorgeous this thing is. It really is. You know what I mean? Hold on there. Yeah. Yeah, Danny Seed, right? And then they got next one, right? They got next one, a city shot. I'm going to send it to my phone again so I can send it to Dan. So he go see what's going on. Go check. So don't hold it against me for being like a kid in a candy store. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, once a man and twice a child. And what took place this weekend, really, I definitely had to mention it on the show this morning. You know, cause you know we're going to talk some politics and some sports and all that stuff. Looking forward to teasing Rocky a little bit because Djokovic get knocked out from a Chilean yesterday, man. You know what I'm saying? And then Nadal get knocked out too. So something going on. Check. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, I just had another photo to Danny. And when we come back, we'll get Doc Cole and Dwayne Henry and then Rocky can join us a little bit later as well. We'll be back right after this.
St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a non-profit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our non-profit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here on Analyze This, and I believe we got Dr. Cool, right, on the line, the handle, Ota C. Thomas. Good morning, Mr. Majority Leader, 30th Legislature, 3-term Senator, District of St. Thomas, St. John. What's up, man?
Good morning, Mr. President. I am doing well. The sun is up and shining. I listened to your weather report. And
Heat advisory on the Big Island, man. Be careful.
Don't have to ready, big brother. Don't have to ready. So, you're enjoying your Aurora Borealis?
Yes, sir. Not the one. I wish, if it's one time, I wish I'd been up there, right? In like the Michigan part of the country, just to see this thing, man. Like, the photos. I don't know if you saw any of the photos, but it's lovely, man. Light up the night.
I've seen it. I believe it or not, Neville, I've seen those similar lights up in Alaska.
Ooh. Wow.
I was on a cruise in Alaska, and we were able to see the lights. I mean, it's fascinating. But the thing about it that you said, Neville, is what is happening in the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
That is creating that beauty. And I always say beauty, a lot of times, beauty is dangerous.
Oh, gosh. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Happy Mother's Day, because, yo, that's a factual statement. You know what I'm saying? It is. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
But
It's also in the eyes of the beholder, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. But that's an awesome sight, man. Nature at its best. And the universe just speaking to us, you know what I mean?
It had a rhyme, right? It had a group name, Stetsasonic, right? And they had a song name, Talking All That Jazz, right? They were going after the people who were complaining about sampling. You know, people sample music, right? So, yeah. So what happened? One of the things that made rap music, right, hip hop music, so big in the mid to late 80s, was they were taking old R&B music. James Brown really was the foundation. Right, and they were taking a lot of his beats and they were rhyming over them, right? So this one dude in that song talking all that jazz, you know, you're talking a lot of, you know what I mean, right? So the dude said, "Talk, well I heard talk is cheap, and like beauty, talk is just skin deep. But when you lie and you talk a lot, people tell you to step off a lot." You know what I'm saying? So yes, I never forget that rhyme. What I mean, and yo. Beauty is skin deep, man. You know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you something. That Aurora Borealis, that day, when I see them photos, hey, you know it's like to watch a maroon sky dog skull? I mean, we watch fireworks, right? And we see how the sky that light up with fireworks and all that stuff. But to see a maroon wavy sky and different degrees of maroon, like burgundy and then purple and then lilac, you know what I mean? Yo, when I saw these photos, I couldn't believe it, man.
They have a phenomenon like that on the sunset too, you know.
Yeah.
Where you can see those purple lights, but it's rare. It's a rare phenomenon.
Yeah, man, it really is. It's a beautiful thing.
It's on the horizon and it's there and it hits it. Yeah. So the universe is also my brother. That's the creator's work.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how we got to do it. And we got to protect it, man. And that's something that I was saying to myself, you know. I wasn't nearly as environmentally astute or inclined as I am as I age. And that's because we're thinking that we got to save this year and leave this year for the children and them to run things down the road. You know what I mean?
It's awesome. Sometime at night over here where I live and the sky gets really, really clear and the lights are there, I sit down like those that the Dogons back in Africa when they were plotting the planetary movements, right? Over there in Africa, and those guys who put the pyramids together and were able to line up the Great Pyramid with the Sirius Star. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's been there forever, and the placement of the pyramids at Giza, Neville, is aligned, you know, with the planets and the Dogon. The Dogons were a tribe of Africans, a nation of Africans that studied the stellar system. When Copernicus and these guys came along, they had already went over there and already gotten the knowledge.
That's what happened. They will talk about their discoveries, and Dwayne Henry has joined the conversation now. The Copernicus of the world will talk about their knowledge, but they won't tell you who teach them.
Yeah, they won't tell you at whose feet they were groveling.
That's right. Dwayne, good morning. How are you, counselor?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing well. Good morning to both senators.
You ain't got no family in the northern tier to tell you about the solar show that being on Friday night and Saturday night?
Well, actually, my nephews in Baltimore, they should have seen it, but they were not looking for it.
Gallivanting? out gallivanting? They were supposed to do?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not going to say what they were doing, but they were unavailable. My one nephew said he would look for it the second night because he said it was going to be available the second night.
So check with
him. In New York City, but of course you can't say anything because there's so much light pollution.
No, what happened in New York City, right? There's this one guy, right, who I follow him on Twitter, and he's from Michigan. Right,
okay.
but he is studying. He's in medical school in New Jersey, I think it is. Right, and he was complaining because it was raining in New York City Friday night, man. So the skies were covered with clouds. You know what I'm saying?
They did have some rain. I remember.
Yeah. So he didn't get to see the sky show. So he was complaining because the people then were sending the photos from Michigan. Right.
Oh.
Apparently, he went to undergrad at University of Michigan, right? Okay. And the sky show was beautiful in the Ann Arbor area, right?
Right.
So he was frustrated about that. He said, "I'm moving back to Michigan."
And you know, it's quite a treat for those of us, well, for the people that live in the Western Hemisphere, in the Northern Western Hemisphere, because you know you got to be generally speaking North Canada. Further up north to be able to see that. So to be able to see this far south is an amazing thing.
When I got the photos from St. Louis, I was like, wait, no? I thought they said it's a northern tier thing, and you know St. Louis is directly in the heartland, the gateway.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I also saw some photos on the CBS article as far south as Arlington, Texas. So that's pretty
right,
neat.
Yeah, as far as so, yeah. As a matter of fact, into the panhandle of Florida, they were able to see the first night.
That's what I'm talking about. So, Doc, how was the weekend, man? I know you're still basking in the aftermath of DeMori, getting that paper with the seal and all that good stuff.
Hey, the weekend was nice, man. Like I said, it was awesome. DeMori, congratulations to him. He's now studying for the NCLEX.
Okay.
That's the national boards that he has to take to become licensed. So he tell me, Daddy, don't worry about it. I got this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if he tell me he got this. But the weekend was nice. I watched some sports. I see your boy, your goat. I see your goat getting beat up.
Rocky Goat, I mean.
Oh, Rocky Goat. Oh, Rocky Goat. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
but something is happening, and it might be happening 5 or 7 years later. But I would never thought that I would see a clay court tournament, right? Where Nadal lose 6-3, 6-1, and Djokovic lose 6-1, 6-3, before the end of the first week. Unbelievable, man. Right,
my brother. You know that father time is
never lose. Never lose, man.
Yeah, father time is undefeated. So these guys have reached culminating the end of their careers, and sometimes you don't want to stay too long because you're gonna get embarrassed and start tarnishing your legacy. You know what I mean?
Well, Dwayne, you know that when you were 20, right? And you get a sprained knee, you're going to come back, right?
Yeah.
But when you're 30, there's a chance you're going to come back. When you're 40, there's pain waiting for you, right? And what happening with these older, with these elder statesmen, these elderly legends?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's hard to come back from when you have these little knickknacks and these injuries, man. Just ain't the same.
You know that the thing with athletes is that professional athletes especially is that you gotta know when to retire, you know. You gotta know when to just leave it alone. You should, especially in the heavily competitive sports, the contact sports, or the ones that put extreme stress on your body, like tennis or running. You know, you could tear up your knees and stuff like that if you want to, or you could just go ahead and bow out gracefully at the prime, and when you're in your prime, and have a successful, fruitful retirement.
But Nadal is 37, and Djokovic, he got 22 Grand Slam titles, and Djokovic is 30. I think he's making. Two of them that make ball day in May. Right, Doc? Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
So I believe Nadal might actually be making 38 sometime soon.
Uh-huh.
Right? And Djokovic gonna be making 37. Let me say this. Uh-huh. Djokovic loses to Alejandro Tabilo. But he had an incident on Friday, you know, where somebody accidentally dropped a water bottle and it hit Djokovic on the head. You check? You laughing and apparently when I say accident, you got right to laugh, right? Because sometimes you don't. That's the term they don't use. You check. But we don't know if it might have been intentional, right? But okay. So here's the deal: Nadal lost 6-3, 6-1, and Djokovic lost 6-2, 6-3. Right, and I'm trying to figure out his age. The young man that beat him is 26 years old. He's a Chilean, Alejandro Tabilo. Right, and I'm looking for Djokovic's age here. God, this is a CNN story that I read in here. I got to go to NPR. NPR, I got it. NPR, I got a real story, then, man. Let me go to NPR. But the reality is, man, it's harder to recover even if when you ain't injured from match to match, Doc School, because the body. Over time, the recovery window just ain't the same like it was when you got that vitality. It's not.
Absolutely. But I think Djokovic is probably trying to...
To pace himself?
To get his last Grand Slam.
To get to 25.
To get to 25, so Rocky could say he's the real GOAT. You know what I mean? But on his way to 25, he got to get lucky. You got to get lucky that some of those guys in the draft are along.
Yes, sir.
You know, but
yes, sir.
They come in at him. They come in. They come in at. And one of the things, Neville, is when you've been a superstar, and these guys, young guys, coming up, they want to put a little notch in their belt to say, "I take down the big one." You know.
You better believe it.
And they when they're facing you, they're coming at you.
And they want to play them and beat them before they retire.
Yes. To put it in your record that I beat Rocky Goat. You know what I mean?
But you know,
You know what? You know what? I don't know if you guys would agree with me, but when I look at it, the women players tend to, well, traditionally, back in the day, you know, Martina Navratilova.
Chris Everett.
They were pretty old, quote unquote, when they retired, you know.
Yeah.
As opposed to the men.
Well, there's...
And the women tend to start way earlier, too.
That's the problem with a lot of the female players, you know. They were they were playing against professionals at 14 and 15 and 16.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
there was this one young American player back in the early 80s, I think late 70s, early 80s. Her name was Andrea Yeager, right?
Yeah.
She was a great young player. And before you know it, she was out of tennis, right?
Yeah.
Her body had just broken down. Same thing with Tracy Austin. Remember Tracy Austin had won like 3 U.S. Opens in a row, you know?
Yeah.
And before you know it, before they were 25, 26, 27, they didn't want them all. You check? Because that wear and tear ain't a joke, man. You know who dealing with that now? The New York Knicks, right?
There you go.
No, seriously, wear and tear, right? People like to focus on skill and ability, right?
Uh-huh.
But the reality is the human body is flesh and blood, right? They're not machines. And you got to pace yourself, right? It's like what Muhammad Ali did when he was fighting George Foreman, Duck School, right? George Foreman, this big brute of a man knocking out everybody, and Ali said, well, I got to find a strategy to take this man out. And he incorporated something now commonly known as the rope-a-dope, right?
Yes.
Where I gonna cool out on the ropes, block the body shots, protect my face, bam, bam, bam. And then in the 8th round, Ducks, when he saw the first sign of fatigue for George Foreman, he just stepped to the side and knocked a little 3-punch combination. And the next thing you know, George Foreman dancing like a ballerina for a long and get back down on the ground. But strategy, Ducks, has to be a part of the deal. Everything ain't about brute force and strength and skill. Got to have some strategy.
They say that playing the game, about 90% of it is between the two ends, you know.
Yo, I know where you're going to know. Because Yogi Berra said, Yogi Berra, the one who used to make all these funny statements. He said the game is 50% physical and 90% mental.
Yes. Exactly. You've got to create a strategy of how you're going to approach these things.
Yeah. And this applies to everything, even politics, right?
Everything.
You got to have some strategy. It just can't be where we are not dominate. No, sir.
Yeah, right? No, you're going to just do that for a period of time. After, he's going to catch up with you.
Yes.
One of the things I wanted to say, Richard.
Berry?
For Serena Williams, them father.
Richard Williams, the father.
Richard Williams, one of the reasons why he had kept the girls from playing junior tennis, you know.
Yeah.
Because he recognized the wear and tear. And you keep them out of there because at that young age, the muscles haven't developed yet, Neville.
Correct.
They're there, but they haven't developed or reached a peak.
Correct.
So if you beat them up like that, by the time they start to go even more, then they're already deteriorating.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. We'll take a break on that note, right? The table talk is in effect. When we come back, we're going to shift to some politics. Filing day tomorrow. Begin tomorrow, gentlemen. For the local election, 2024, Senate election.
Somebody tell me you pick up a thing there.
God, we're going to talk about it when I come back.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
We're back here, analyzing, having some fun here on the table talk. Doc's cool just choked me a little bit, so I come into that. I just wanted to give some vital statistics, right? Rafael Nadal, his birthday is June 3rd, 1986. So he looking to make 38 in another 3 weeks or so. And Djokovic is his birthday is May 22nd, 1987. So he's looking at making 37 next week, Wednesday. So that might gain up their age, you know what I mean? And I should really be partial to Djokovic and the Ducks, because when I see 1987, that's the year I graduated from college. You know what I mean? So I should really have a kindred relationship or connection with Djokovic, but unfortunately, I'm a Federer guy. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that. I like Djokovic, but I'm a Federer guy too.
that one hand backhand doing. It's a beautiful thing, man. You know what I'm saying? You could do things with that racket. That slice shot at Doc Cole. With the one hand backhand
that's pure strength right there.
Yes, sir. And a lot of it in the wrist. And the forearm. I don't know how they're going to generate that kind of power, but it really is a beautiful thing.
That's what I'm saying. It's like golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can hit about 300 yards because of the technique. That technique has to be correct. If it's not correct, it's not going to go. The ball has to come off the racket at a certain angle. It has to come off like that. So when you turn... That turn and you come around, it's technique, man.
Let me ask you a question. You had a draw or you had a fade or you had both?
I had both. I have both. I have everything. Sometimes when I try to fade, I draw the ball and end up in the bush.
because that's one of the things that, and everybody know that Jack Nicklaus, right, win the most majors and all that stuff, right? But that's one of the things that Lee Trevino, right, had over Jack Nicklaus. He could play a fade and a draw, right?
Yeah.
Jack was mostly the fade or the straight shot. You know what I'm saying? But Trevino, he and Chichi, you know, Chichi was a master out of Puerto Rico, right? Chichi Rodriguez,
Puerto Rico,
right?
Yeah.
And he took that golf, he took that putter and he turned it into a sword. And he was he was a showman on the greens. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But they had a little bit more versatility, but they just couldn't hit the ball as straight as Jack. Jack used to hit his, like Tiger, right? And I think that catch up with Tiger, and since we're talking about injuries, right? Tiger really isn't a big dude, you know, Doc's cool, right?
No.
But he used to hit the ball so far, and it took a toll on his body, right?
That is the technique, but Tiger himself had self-inflict. You know, at one point, Tiger wanted to be a Navy SEAL, you know?
Yes, I heard that.
He went through this Navy SEAL training, mash up his back and all kind of thing, jumping out the plane, you know?
But look,
he really
now,
wanted to be a Navy SEAL, and that started to contribute to the deterioration of his body.
But I had that doctor down in St. Kitts that were fooling people too about giving them medicine, you know? Me, his name, Dr. Estefan. Right?
Astafan.
I had he done it. When all of these athletes were struggling, he used to fix up some concoction down there. Even Ben Johnson went down there to get touch up.
You know what I'm saying?
Ben Johnson looked like a horse coming down the track. You know, when you see that, you know the big muscles in the front? When I see Ben Johnson moving, I say, my goodness.
Yeah, what a skinny little boy like that with his with his football-type legs jumping up and running, and then they find out that this Dr. Jaime Astefan, I think he was his name, right?
Astefan, yeah.
Whenever that man get injured, that man going sink it's doing, right? And that man getting touch up, getting the little upper, and the next thing, you know. But you know.
It's kind of like the DR is now the place for our plastic surgery.
Okay, then. Okay, then.
When the hair gets
yeah. But one thing we know, right? You could use as much medicine as you want to mask the injury. At some point, it's going to show itself, right?
And when it shows itself, that's the end of you.
That's the end.
Because you've been exacerbating the injury rather than the field.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. You, and because a lot of these guys, they take in these steroids and all that stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's just be very open here, right? They're taking these helpers, right? A lot of that is to mask injuries, right?
Yeah.
But then it becomes a point where what they're taking is actually doing damage to them while they're masking that injury, right?
Yeah.
And at some point, when you look around, ain't got no cartilage, no, it's all bone on bone. Right.
All right, yeah. All right, Dr. James. All right, Dr. James.
Well, you know how it is. You know what I mean, I got to read. I got to read and be knowledgeable. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. Having said that, you took a shot at me. You said you heard that I picked up the papers, right?
Yeah, that's what a little chichi board tell me.
A chichi board tell you, right?
Yeah.
I tell the chichi board go back with Bean and don't come back. All right.
Go back.
but speaking of which. This is a non-gubernatorial election cycle in 2024, which means that all of the focus is going to be on the senatorial race. And I don't know if there's anyone who has picked up any petitions to challenge the delegate, or if the delegate is seeking office again, because, you know, she's very popular right now, right? But it's my understanding that she will be seeking office again, but we'll see. Let me ask both of you this question. Start with you, Dwayne. If you're running for Senate, right, what are you telling the public that you are going to bring to the table as a non-incumbent that you don't believe incumbents are providing as it relates to legislative leadership in 2024 at this time?
Well, I'm going to answer that question by saying this, that most of the quote challengers are not offering anything. People are just saying vote for me because of vote for me. I'm not seeing any ideas at all from the people who have the challengers who have declared no ideas.
But you know something? Based on what you're saying then, let me rephrase this question.
Uh-huh.
Is the political season too long? Because long ago you used to file in August for a September primary, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you'd have 60 days from September until the November general election. Now you're filing in May for August primary, and then the results in August lead to a 90-day general election cycle.
Uh-huh.
So you think that has hurt non-incumbents, or has it helped non-incumbents, those who challenging?
I actually think it's not either, but it should help the challengers because it gives them time to develop some sort of platform.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing is that the same thing on the mainland where people are running for offices, and you know we spoke about Marjorie Taylor Greene and how she's still in office when she hasn't done anything for her constituency. Nobody's voting for people based on what they bring into the table, you know. People are voting for people based on, you know, how bad they're going to go on when they gain land and this kind of stuff. And it's disappointing because in these times, we need to see ideas. We got a lot of issues wrong here that we need some fresh ideas on. You know, the disaster recovery, you know, how do we expedite that? How do we get creative with that in terms of getting these projects done? If somebody could bring some ideas to the table or work with,
know, whatever administration is there to get stuff done, nobody's offering solutions. Everybody's just saying, oh, this is messed up, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so how are you going to fix WAPA? How are you going to, okay, the rules are up. So how are you, what are you going to do about that? But everybody's complaining, but they're not saying, nobody's bringing any ideas. That's how I see it.
So
it's going to come down to a personality contest again.
Popularity contest. Ducks, what's your take? What do you feel is out there that incumbents can make some inroads, or is it an uphill trudge for them to make it happen?
Well, the thing for me, I'm looking at, if I'm running for office, I got to show some of the what I perceive as failures of the legislative branch. And what is out there right now, it is that it seems like the legislative branch of government is non-existent. That all the governance that is happening from the Hill. And there is no resistance to the executive branch. So I will be saying, listen, when I get, you know, you vote for me, when I get in there, I'm going to make sure that we hold, you know, the executive branch accountable. And I want to bring my colleagues along with me to let them know that the authority that is vested in the legislature, we need to defend that as an institution, because it's not happening. Okay? I believe that those who are coming to run can point at many issues that took place where the legislature seemed like they just go in there and have roll call and sit down and wait for the governor to come and say something, and then they acquiesce to what the governor is saying, rather than utilizing the power of the legislative branch to manage the affairs of this government. Oversight, a lot of oversight, as Dwayne spoke about the federal the capital projects and the federal monies that are here. Oversight, holding these people responsible. I am really tired of hearing, oh, we don't have the collective money to do this and the grant and all of that. They don't have that because of such. But from an oversight perspective, you need to be able to gauge and speak to the executive branch, let them present their plan, and then listen, this is how we're going to do it, and consistently stay on it, Neville.
Mm-hmm.
That is basically where I would go. And we have a myriad of problems. We have the WAPA issue. We have the roads issue. We have all these issues. We have education issue. The issues out there that you can jump on and show specific ways that you can send the public and say, this is what I would be accomplishing or try to accomplish when I get there with help of my colleagues. You got to always keep the colleagues in place. But you have to be the lightning rod to say, this is where we're going to go. I need some resistance. I don't need acquiescence, Neville.
You know, the Senate, right, the legislators, they're in a catch-22, right?
Uh-huh.
Because on one hand, they're a separate branch of government, right? Co-equal, but separate nonetheless, right? But but the problem, right, the counter argument is that they're also a majority of the same party as the governor, right?
Actually, yes.
So the public wants its leaders to work together, but there's a separation dynamic there that has to be respected as well.
That's true. You can have it both ways. This is what I think why she's missing from the way we legislate here in the territory. And I'm going to compare it to, like, the Congress, right? When you see an act pass Congress, that is a culmination at work between the two houses and the White House. When you hear the American the Partnership Act or whatever it's called. The Rebuild America Act.
The America Recovery ARPA.
Those are not Joe Biden shoving that down the Congress thing and telling them, hey, vote for this. These things are developed, and that's what I'm saying about ideas. You don't see the legislators coming forward and says, okay, the governor sent this bill down, but we want to add A, B, C, D, E, F, and G to it.
or we want to change it. You know, that's what that's what we want to see from legislators. And that's where that goes a little way towards accountability and making sure that their constituents' interests are represented, even though you're the same party. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to negotiate with government house and say, look, you're not going to just send down a bill and we're going to just vote on it. We're going to sit down and we're going to work. And then it behooves both sides to ensure passage and to ensure that it doesn't get vetoed if you work on these big projects together.
Docs, go ahead. You want to respond?
I highlight what Councillor is saying. One of the last times I started collaboration was in the last legislature where they were able to pass that act for GERS, where the governor sent stuff down, right? You remember?
Yeah. They rejected it like two or three times before they actually voted on it, right?
Two or three times and sat down and said, listen, this is the way we need to go. We're going to massage it. We're going to do this. At the end of the day, the governor got all the credit for it. But the legislature as a body and the leadership at that point in time sat down and said, listen, you send this down, but the thing about it is we want to see it done this way. We want to put this in, as Dwayne said. We want to add this. Absolutely. We want to do that. We want to do these things. That is basic. That's an example of specifically what Dwayne is speaking about. Absolutely. Locally, as you compare it to like the CHIPS Act and Recover America, that whole issue. That's what needs to happen. But you need to have the leadership at the top and be able to bring this coalition together. And a lot of times in the legislature, Neville, we want to be governor, you know. Where you sit is where you stand.
But you want to know what's another big issue here? We have here the real underlying data. I got Tom did a use. There's a baseline, right? Is that the registered voters in the Virgin Islands, right? And we're going to a break now, right? Is so dominated by registered Democrats, right? That you don't have the true opposition to the establishment party, right? Who now is challenging this Democratic apparatus, this Democratic machine, right? And that's what's missing. That wasn't the case back in the day, right? And right now, I mean, the numerical advantage the Democrats have over non-Democrats is ridiculous, man. And that's something that we're going to pick up on when we take a break. We got Dwayne Henry and our Doug School breaking down local politics here this morning. Be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.